Revelation 17 in its context. Background. Three chapters of Revelation use the expression seven heads and ten horns, Revelation 12 and 17, or ten horns and seven heads, Revelation 13. In this paper, I explore parallels among these prophecies and also relate them back to Daniel 2, 7, 8, and 11. It is important that we start our investigation in Daniel. There are two points in particular that we need to understand about the empires of Daniel. One is that the four empires portray five phases of power. The other point is that the second time we see the fourth empire, its strength is temporarily removed. It is strong, then weak, then strong again. Five phases of power. Daniel 2 and 7. The expression seven heads and ten horns can be derived in two ways. The first of these involves some simple math. In Daniel 7, there are four beasts. The first has one head, the second has one head, the third has four heads, and the fourth has one head. 1 plus 1 plus 4 plus 1 equals 7 heads. Also, the first beast has no horns, the second beast has no horns, the third beast has no horns. But the fourth beast has 10 horns. 0 plus 0 plus 0 plus 10 equals 10 horns. In Daniel 2, there is iron and iron mixed with clay. In Daniel 7, there is the terrible nondescript beast and a little horn. Thus, in both cases, the last empire takes two forms. Daniel 8 and 11. One difference between the first two major prophecies of Daniel and the last two is that Daniel 2 and 7 refer to Babylon, while Daniel 8 and 11 do not. A similarity is that all four prophecies portray the last empire in two forms. In Daniel 8, there is a difference between the little horn of verse 9 and the little horn of verses 10 through 12. The little horn in verse 9 is oriented horizontally and grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. What these directions mean depends on where we start. I suggest starting from Italy, where Rome is located. South from Italy is Egypt, and east from Italy is Syria. Daniel 8 is a preview of Daniel 11, except that the two chapters take different starting points. In Daniel 11, we do not start from Italy, but from Judea. South from Judea is again Egypt, and north from Judea is again Syria. After Alexander the Great's death, his empire was divided up among his generals. Alexander's life marks the beginning of the Hellenistic period. When it says, at the latter end of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their limit, a king of bold face, one who understands riddles, shall arise. Daniel 8, 22 and 23. That is the end of the Hellenistic period. This fact has caused some confusion, because both Antiochus and Rome arise then. Historically, one could justify talking about either one. Here we deal with Rome, because that provides for a parallel with Daniel 2. Whereas Antiochus does not. Antiochus was just another Greek. Rome overwhelmed first Egypt and then Syria. Both countries were eventually added to the empire and ceased to exist as independent political entities. In Daniel 8, 10 through 12, the little horn is portrayed differently. Here the little horn is oriented not horizontally but vertically, capturing the fact that it would eventually assert itself against God. This is another test case for the Antiochus hypothesis, because in Daniel 11:38 it says, a God whom his fathers did not know, he shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and costly gifts. Antiochus was devoted to the Greek gods of those who preceded him, but the papacy did not honor the gods of the Roman emperors. The text also says, his power shall be great, but not by his own power. Daniel 8:24. The papacy drew political support from the kings of the earth, as it says in Revelation 17, 2a. This is what sexual immorality means in Revelation 17, 2b. The papacy's strength was not by its own power. Saying that the little horn would eventually destroy mighty men and the people who are the saints, Daniel 8:24, is parallel to the fifth seal, Revelation 6, 9-11. As regards secular Rome, the plaque that Pontius Pilate hung on the cross said, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews, Matthew 27:37, or the King of the Jews, Mark 15:26, or "This is the King of the Jews," Luke 23:38, or "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews," John 19:19. Whatever the wording may have been, this is not the same as saying astonishing things against the God of gods, Daniel 11:36. The astonishing things referred to there were theological claims that would be made later. Both forms of Rome are necessary in order for Daniel 8 to be parallel with Daniel 2, because whereas Antiochus points our attention to the Hellenistic period, and if he is our focus, everything stops there, Daniel 2 does not. It continues on all the way to the second coming. We have seen secular Rome, or Rome 4a, in Daniel 2 as iron, in Daniel 7 as a terrible nondescript beast, in Daniel 8 as the little horn of verse 9 attacking first Egypt and then Syria with Judea in the middle, and in Daniel 11 in verses 16 to 22, although for narrative reasons the sequence of its activity there is reversed. In Daniel 11, its relationship with Syria and Judea is narrated first in verses 16 to 22, and then its relationship with Egypt in verses 25 through 28. That is Rome 4a. All of this is to be contrasted with spiritual Rome, or Rome 4b, which we see in Daniel 2 as iron mixed with clay, in Daniel 7 as the little horn, in Daniel 8 as the second phase of the little horn speaking against God in verses 10 through 12, and in Daniel 11 as a second phase of Rome speaking proud words against God and oppressing his people in verses 29 through 45. These two phases of Rome must both be included and distinguished. Later we will show that the activity of this second phase of Rome is further subdivided in Daniel 11, 29 through 39, 40 through 43, and 44 through 45. See Table 1. The strength of the Fifth Empire is interrupted. I submit that if Rome appears twice in Daniel, as shown above, the resulting five phases of power can be mapped systematically onto the seven phases of power in Revelation 17. There is a question how to map five things onto seven things. The answer becomes clear when we map them also onto time. Spiritual Rome's activity takes different forms at different times. For an extended period, spiritual Rome's strength remains unchallenged. It is then removed temporarily, and the little horn, or king of the north, or sixth head, eventually recovers from its brief period of weakness and becomes strong again. We don't know how long the wound lasts, but the root meaning of the word yitnagach in Daniel 11:40 is to gore. If the king of the north is gored on this occasion, that would explain why his opponent has time to leave before there can be any response. This is why the king spends time marching through countries in 1141. He is trying to find the one who attacked him. This demonstrates that the attacker had time to get away. Revelation 13 relates a similar sequence. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast, 13:3. The sea beast is strong before being wounded. It is wounded, and after recovering, it is strong again. This is a chiastic sequence, A, B, A prime. In Revelation 17, this same series of events corresponds to heads number 5, number 6, and number 7. Summary. Daniel describes a series of four main powers, 1 Babylon, 2 Medo-Persia, 3 Greece, and 4 Rome as a secular power. But Rome appears twice. When it appears the second time, Rome is a spiritual power. In this case, power 5a equals Rome as a spiritual power while it is strong, 5b equals Rome after it becomes weak, and 5c equals Rome after it becomes strong again. 4 plus 3 equals 7. Interpretation. When Berthier's French army forcibly removed Pius VI from Rome in 1798, many thought the papacy had come to an end. Actually, it had only suffered a mortal wound, Revelation 13:3, and the wound would heal. The papacy is still recovering from what it suffered in 1798. The recovery began slowly. In 1938, 140 years after Berthier, Al Smith ran against Herbert Hoover for President of the United States. He lost badly. The next year, the state of Italy gave Vatican City back to the papacy. That was 1929. Since then, a number of popes have addressed the General Assembly of the United Nations. Paul VI, John Paul II, Benedict XVI, and Francis I. Francis was voted Person of the Year by Time magazine in 2013 and later addressed a joint session of Congress in 2015. Three popes have received the U.S. Presidential Medal of Freedom: John XXIII, John Paul II, and Francis I, with distinction. This last award was given by the country's second Roman Catholic president, Joe Biden. The first was John F. Kennedy. The current vice president, J.D. Vance, is Catholic. The current pope, Leo XIV, is American. The healing process continues and will not be complete until the papacy recovers the ability to persecute. It might make us uncomfortable to say this, but we can't neglect saying it, because this is something Daniel 11:44 through 45 lays under heavy emphasis. Without the return of persecution, there is no seventh head. Heads number 5 and number 7 are no longer a matched pair. Daniel 11:44 through 45 has no potential fulfillment, and the parallels we have been noticing above take us nowhere. Comments: the is and is not statements. What explains the is and is not statements in Revelation 17 is the fact that there are two different beasts in Revelation 13. One represents the papacy, that's the sea beast. The other represents the United States, that's the earth beast. While the one is not, the other is. The events of Revelation 13a and 13b happen at roughly the same time, which explains why one period could be described two ways, as both being and not being. The woman. Another thing we learn by comparing Revelation 12 and 17 is that the woman John sees in both chapters is the same individual, although seen at different times. The first time John sees her is before the 1260 days have started. The text says she is to be nourished for 1260 days, Revelation 12:6. The words "is to be" imply that this time of nourishing is still to take place. It has not started yet. And I suggest that the second time he sees her is after the 1260 days have ended. Here there is no direct reference to a time period, but we find important chronological clues. The statement "five of whom have fallen" in Revelation 17:10 have a direct connection with the words "the time of the end" in Daniel 11:40, when the mortal wound was inflicted. And that occurs in 1798, at the end of the 1260 days. So John sees the woman both before and after the 1260 days. Any changes the woman undergoes must take place after 538 and before 1798. I don't mean to imply that the church before the 1260 days began was in every way perfect. There were also people in it like Ananias and Sapphira, Acts 5. Or that the church after the 1260 days ended was in every way corrupt. There were also men in it like William Miller, not to mention Ellen White. But the symbol of a woman seen before and after the 1260 days captures the important point that dramatic changes would occur during that period. The eighth. The word eighth mentioned in Revelation 17:11 is not an eighth head. The word head is specifically omitted from the text at this point. At the same time, eighth is not merely a different way of saying beast. Instead, it is a separate power, parallel to and contemporaneous with the beast, the entire beast. It belongs to the seven, that is, to all seven of the beast's heads, which implies a considerable passage of time. Another term for this entity is that ancient serpent, Revelation 12:12. The dragon in Revelation 12 and the eighth in Revelation 17 are both references to the devil or Satan. Conclusion: the four empires symbolized in Daniel represent five phases of power, because Rome has two careers. The first of these lasts 360 years from 31 BC, when Rome first becomes an empire, to 8330, when Constantine moves his government eastward to Constantinople. After he does that, what had been the Roman Empire becomes Byzantium, and what had been the western part of the Roman Empire becomes the various states of Western Europe or Christendom. Applying the words "but only for a time" in Daniel 11:24 prophetically is important because 360 contrasts nicely with 1260. The longer period is 3.5 times as long as the shorter one. And this contrast marks a shift of emphasis in Daniel 11 from Rome as an empire, power number 4, to Rome as a city, power number 5. In Revelation 17, the fifth head is spiritual Rome before 1798. The sixth head is spiritual Rome from then to whenever it fully recovers. The seventh head is the papacy after it has fully recovered from its mortal wound. In Daniel 11:44 and 45, this is described as a time of trouble. In Revelation 17, it is the period of the seventh head. Revelation 17 is not difficult if we will place each part of it in the context Scripture provides. God is not trying to confuse us. Each thing he says in Revelation 17 is explained elsewhere. This is why it is so important that we study Revelation 12, 13, and 17 together with Daniel 2, 7, 8, and 11. It is rarely the case that we will understand Revelation without studying it in the context of Daniel. See Table 2.